Hey, it's great to be with you today. So glad to be in worship with you. You'll want to pull out your Christchurch notes. They're there in your worship program. Tony's right. We're beginning a brand new series today. I'm calling it Sick and Tired. There are several blanks I want you to fill in, very important ones, because I want us to get familiar with some of the terms that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. We're going to examine godly principles on how God has designed us and to how he's called us to live our lives. You know, 8 years ago, I did a series back in the old church called The Nova Syndrome. The Nova Syndrome. The Nova Syndrome was a term that I made up based on our culture's push for us to basically burn our candles at both ends. You know, it was all about our overscheduled, overplanned, and overworked lifestyle that leaves us physically ill and spiritually empty. That's what this whole series was about. In fact, that series was so well received that the term Nova Syndrome became a part of our vocabulary around here for several years after. And now here we are 8 years later, and I think it's time for us to revisit the premise of that series. And I will admit that it's probably, the reason I feel that way is probably due to my own self-interest and my own self-preservation in order to revisit the principles that God has for us so that our life can be full again, but not full with busyness, but full with contentment. And that's what God, the way God designed us all to live and to be. God's design for our life. And so this time we're going to revisit some of those principles, and I'm calling it Sick and Tired. Sick and Tired. Now, each week during the series, we're going to begin with one particular scripture. I want us to eventually memorize it. I want us to say it together. It's the words of Jesus. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." All right, let's say it together. Ready? Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." One more time. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." Now, what I'm going to ask you to do right now is to take your pen or pencil, and I want you to circle those two words, heavy loads. Circle the two words right there, heavy loads. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads." Heavy loads, and then I will give you rest. Circle those two words. Now, anyone here feel like they're carrying a heavy load? You know, sure, there are those of us in this room, I'm sure, who feel like we're carrying a heavy load. I feel like for a substantial period of time, in fact, just a bit of true confession here, since January, I feel like I have really been carrying a tremendously heavy load with just a lot of weight on my shoulders. You know, coming right out of Christmas, we get into January, and all of a sudden, what happens? The government shuts down. And then all of the ripple effects from the financial fallout from that affected the church, that was huge on me. I felt like I was carrying this heavy load. And then, if that wasn't enough, we get into January, and our denomination goes into a special call general conference, and the fear and the angst that came through that conference rippled across this congregation, and constantly I was feeling that heavy load. Then we get into April and May, and we had an opportunity to refinance the mortgage of the church, which was a really good thing because it saved this church $2 million to refinance. But what it required was an additional $15,000 a month in mortgage payments. So all of that now was on top of me. And then because of what happened in January and what happened in February and the financial ripple effects there, and then the refinancing and the $15,000 in mortgage increase every month, we had to restructure and realign our staff. Some staff members had to be let go. All of that happened. And then, if that wasn't enough, in May, my mother-in-law passed away. I mean, I felt like I was shrinking under an incredibly heavy load. And so, you know, when I read this scripture, when Jesus said, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, I think, yeah, I know exactly what that's about. I know what it's like to be under the heavy load. And so I'll tell you just flat out honestly, I think that basically, you're hearing a series that I need to preach to me. You're hearing a series that I need to preach to myself. What you're about to hear is something that I need, something that your pastor needs. Because I realize that if we don't find rest for our soul, we finally end up physically ill and spiritually empty. And that's never where God calls us to be, ever, for anybody. Nobody is called to live like that. God didn't design us to live that way. And I imagine that there are those of you who are carrying heavy loads in here who feel something like I do. I can imagine that, you know, and when you go through long periods of time like that, folks, whether the heavy loads are forced upon you and not by your own making, or whether those heavy loads are due to your own overscheduled, over-demanded, overworked, over-planned lifestyle, you know, what we end up doing is we get sick and tired. We get sick and tired, physically ill, spiritually depleted. And here's why I think this happens. Here's why I think it happens. It happens due to the belief, and this is a fallacy, but it's due to a belief that living life without margin, and then living life without balance due to unhealthy and unprioritized loads, we think is normal. Yeah, we do. We think it's somehow normal to live our life without any margin, without any balance, because we have unprioritized and unhealthy loads. We think, oh, well, that's just normal. That's what it's like to live. Well, you know what? No. It's not normal. It's not the way God designed us. It's no wonder we find ourselves sick and tired. It's no wonder we find ourselves spiritually empty and physically ill, because we think it's normal to live life without any margin in our life, without any balance in our life, because we load ourselves up so heavy with all kinds of stuff that we find ourselves eventually ill. And that's what happens. Folks, you know, we screw up when we begin to think that that kind of lifestyle is normal. We screw up that way, and we find ourselves again empty. So let's look at what these words mean, margin and balance and loads. Let's define them. First thing, what does it mean to, what does margin mean? Well, margin is the space between our load and our limit. That space between the load and the limit. I like to think about it this way. I couldn't find a really good picture to put on the screen, so I'm going to describe it to you. Imagine that you're pushing a wheelbarrow, and what's inside the wheelbarrow is a manageable load, and so you can push that along. Now, imagine you put so much stuff that you reach the limit, and then what happens? The axle breaks on the wheelbarrow. So between being able to push it easy and the axle breaking, that's the margin. between the load, our load, what we can physically stand and physically manage comfortably, and our limit when we feel like our axle is just breaking, when we feel like we can't stand it anymore, when we feel like we have reached the utter limit of our living. It's the space between rest and exhaustion. That's what margin is. Margin is the space between breathing freely and suffocating. That's margin. That space between breathing freely and suffocating, between the load and the limit, between rest and exhaustion. That's what margin is. It's all about prioritizing what it is that matters most in your life. What is it that matters most in your life? Making space for the things that matter most in life. Now, what is balance? Well, balance is that which directs us to a more simplified lifestyle, where we're not constantly running at the axle-breaking pressure of life. It leads us to a place where we have some contentment, that we actually begin to enjoy living and not feel like every day we get up is a burden that we have to bear. Balance is that anchored contentment, when giving space to be able to nourish some relationships. That's balance. Balance is that when you have reasonable expectations about what you can do and accomplish. That's what balance is. And so what is the load? Well, the load is our work, our problems, our obligations, our commitments, our expectations, whether they be self-imposed or imposed upon us, can be debt, can be deadlines, can be interpersonal conflicts, all of those things that get piled up on your shoulder. All the stuff that you have to manage, all the stuff you have to do that's piled up on your shoulder, that's your load. Now, so we have margin, we have balance, and we have load. In fact, let's say that together. We have margin, we have balance, we have load. One more time. Margin, balance, and load. Remember those terms. That's going to be helpful as we see the principles that God has designed for us. Margin, balance, and load. I'm going to give you an example. A few years ago, Rosemary and I were in our seats on a Boeing 737. We were at the gate at Quito International Airport in Ecuador, at the Quito Airport. Now, if any of you have ever been to Quito or know anything about Quito, it is the second highest in altitude capital city airport of any country in the world. The only country that has a higher elevation at their airport, capital city airport, is in Bolivia, which happens to be right next door to Ecuador. It's just under 9,500 feet in elevation, just the runway. So the air is thinner there, and it takes more space and a less heavy load to get off the ground. So I tell you all that to say this. We were seated in our seats, and the plane was loading, and now they had actually closed the door. And there was an announcement that came on, captain speaking, saying, we are not balanced. And so I'm going to have to ask a number of you to spread out across the plane. So many of you are going to need to take new seats. So the stewardess came through, flight attendant came through, and moved us all around the plane. We were still seated there. Captain came back on and said, we are too heavy to fly. And so we need four of you to get to volunteer to receive a $200 voucher. We'll put you up in a hotel. We'll give you meals, and then you can fly out the next day. Nobody moved. The offer went to $300. Nobody moved. The offer went to $400. Nobody moved. The captain came back on and said, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that we will not leave this gate until four of you are willing to leave this plane. We're now offering $500 apiece. Four people got up, got off the plane, they unloaded their luggage, and we all took off and obviously landed safely back here in Washington, since I'm here to tell you the story. So I tell you all of that to tell you this math. And here's the math: that proper balance plus proper load plus flying equals arrival. All right? There's the math. Proper, what's this word? Balance plus proper load plus flying equals arrival. There's your math. Let me tell you story number two. It was August 25th, it was the year 2001. American R&B sensation Aaliyah was living large. She had a Grammy nomination, she had major film contracts. There was a lot to do and little time to do it. August 25th, 2001, she was in the Bahamas. Then she was to catch a plane over to Miami and then back up to New York City all in the same day. They were doing the video shoot there in the Bahamas. And when it was time to leave, her entourage boarded the plane. There was a load of luggage. There were cameras, sound equipment, and all of that. And they exceeded the plane's weight limit. The load, they exceeded the load. The Cessna plane was rated for 8 passengers. They had 9. The plane, the fuel, and the baggage, listen to this, the plane, the fuel, and baggage weighed 5,500 pounds, which left 800 pounds to be divided by the 9 passengers. Now, when her 300-pound bodyguard boarded the plane, that left 62 pounds apiece for the remaining 6 men and 2 women. Well, they all crammed into the plane. The plane rose 50 feet. And Aaliyah's career ended 200 feet beyond the runway as the plane dived nose first, and nobody survived. Not one person survived the crash. The first math was kind of funny. The second math really isn't. Here it is. Put it on the screen. That overload plus imbalance plus flying equals death. Overload plus imbalance plus flying equals death. And you may think, well, okay, Pastor, well, what's that got to do with being sick and tired? Well, you remember why I said I think so many of us find ourselves sick and tired? And that is the fallacy. Here's the fallacy. The fallacy is that overload plus imbalance plus living is normal. It's normal. But that's wrong. The math doesn't add. It's not normal. To put it another way is eventually, you know, if you keep living that way, you're going to crash. Eventually, you're going to crash. Here's the truth, is that overload plus imbalance plus living, what does it equal? It doesn't equal normal. It equals an unhealthy, overstressed, emotionally empty, spiritually depleted life. That's the math. The other stuff is false math. This is real. Overload plus imbalance plus living equals an unhealthy, overstressed, emotionally empty, spiritually depleted life. And once again, what does it mean? Eventually, you're going to crash. You're going to crash. And that's not normal. You hear it? That's not normal. It's not the way God made you. You were never designed that way. None of us were ever designed that way. It's not normal to think that we can live these overloaded, imbalanced lifestyles and then find ourselves well and happy and spiritually full. No, it doesn't work that way. The math doesn't add up. Let me give you some statistics. Found this week. People are now sleeping 1 to 1.5 hours less each night than we did 100 years ago. An hour to 1.5 hours on average each night less sleep. That our average work week is longer than it was in 1960. Longer than what it was in 1960. Our average office worker has 36 hours of work piled up on his or her desk. Undone. We spend 8 months of our life opening junk mail. We spend 5 years waiting for people who are late to meetings because they are overloaded. And here in Washington, I just found this one. Here in Washington, we spend a total of 74 hours or just over 3 days a year stuck in traffic, wasting $1,495 worth of gas and lost wages. It's incredible. I mean, can anybody here relate to this stuff? You know, maybe you feel like Job. You know, what did Job say? Look at this. Job said, I have no peace. Is it up on the screen? Yeah. I have no peace. I have no quiet. I have no rest. And trouble keeps coming. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I have no peace, I have no quiet, I have no rest, and trouble keeps coming. You know, I mean, here's the question. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, what's the remedy? What's the answer? What does God have to say to all of this stuff? Well, here's what God has to say about this. The first thing I want you to do is to think about this. How can I do this? Create margin in your life. How do you create margin in your life? How do you create margin in your life? You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. How do you do it? You know, we need to create margin in our lives. I mean, is there enough margin in your life? I'm not convinced there's enough in mine. You know, and you can certainly quickly make that assessment. I mean, just take a look at your notes for a moment. Here's how you know whether you got margin in your life. Margin is energy. Marginless is fatigue. Margin is black ink. Marginless is red ink. Margin is calm. Marginless is hurry. Margin is security. Marginless is anxiety. Margin is counterculture. Absolutely, particularly around here. And marginless is the culture. Margin is the cure, and marginless is the disease of the 21st century. You can quickly look through here and find out if you have any margin in your own life. I mean, folks, listen to me. Margin is making space for the things that matter most. You hear it? Margin is making space for the things that matter most. In fact, it is all about priorities. Margin is all about priorities. You know, failure to clearly define the non-negotiable priorities in your life will always leave you marginless. Always leave you marginless. Dr. Richard Swenson, in his book called Margin, tells this story. He wrote this, the condition of modern day living devours margin. If you're homeless, we send you to a shelter. If you're penniless, we offer you food stamps. If you're breathless, we connect you to oxygen. But if you're marginless, we give you one more thing to do. Marginless is being 30 minutes late to the doctor's office because you're 20 minutes late getting out of the bank, because you were 10 minutes late dropping off the kids at school, because your car ran out of gas 2 blocks from the gas station and you forgot your wallet. That's marginless. How do we create this margin? Here's how you do it. First is you got to determine the things in your life that, what do you think is going to be the answer that, oh, you already know it, matters most. You got to determine the things in your life that matters most. In other words, we call this what? Priorities, right? That's what we call it. What are your non-negotiables? What are the non-negotiables in your life that are priorities for your living, for your life? What are the things in your life that matter most? You got to know what those things are. You know, it could be God and church, and could spouse and marriage, or children, yourself, your own health, your work, your friends, your health, your security, those kinds of things. I've given you some space. I don't need you to do it right now, but I've given you some space on the outline to determine what the non-negotiables are for you. You need to jot them down in that box. What are the non-negotiables in your life, those things that matter most? You need to know that. If you're going to create margin, you got to know it. Here's the second thing. You got to accept the fact that we all have limits. We've got limits, people. There was a time when I, again, moment of true confession, there was a time about, I guess it was a little over 10 years ago, that I really kind of felt that I could do everything. Whatever it was, I could do it. I had bought into this baloney that I was kind of Superman, that whatever needed to happen, I could deal with it. I could do it. And it wasn't long after that I came to a crashing halt and realizing that the only way you can do everything is if you do a lot of stuff not very well. You can do a lot of stuff, but you can't do a lot of stuff well. And so you do a whole lot of things halfway. And then nobody gets all of you. There's only little pieces of you that people are able to get. Even the people that are closest to you can only get a little piece of you. Let me tell you, if you don't buy into the fact that you've got limits, you're living in fantasy land. In fact, check this out. Isaiah, what did he say? He said, "You are worn out by your many plans." But I didn't know that Isaiah knew me, but there it is right there. You are worn out by your many plans. And then King David's psalmist said, "I have learned that everything has limits." Learn that everything has limits. You know, we have to remember that we are not invincible. We're just human beings, that God has created us with these limits. And he did so. Listen, God created you with limits to remind you, and me particularly, I'm speaking to me, remember I already told you that, to remind us that he's God and we're not. He created us with limits to remind us that he's the one who's God, and we're not. You know, I find it humorous now. I didn't before, but I do now. When I hear people say who are talking about all the stuff they've got to do and everything that's piled up upon them, and then because they know that I'm a pastor, they will say, "But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I want to say, I don't say this, but I might, but I haven't yet. But I want to say, oh, that's really cool. Can you fly? I'd love to see you. Can you fly around the room? I mean, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Can you fly? I'd love to see you fly around the room. Can you go 6 months without eating? Can you do it? No. Can you fly? No. You can't. We misunderstand that scripture so much that we try to, we make ourselves think that somehow we are Superman or Superwoman. That we can do everything, and we cannot. It was God who gave us limits. We can do everything that God wants us to accomplish for Him. We can do what God wants us to accomplish. But God doesn't ever call us to be overstressed and overburdened and overplanned and overscheduled and spiritually empty and physically sick. He doesn't call us that way. If we exceed our limits, people, listen, you do so at your own risk. Here's the last one, and then I know I've got to move on. And that is this. Here's the question. When you're trying to create your margin, you have to ask yourself this question. Who are you trying to impress? You know, I like that question. Who are you trying to impress? And the reason why I like it is because it really begins to make me think. You know, why do I do the things I do? Who is it that I'm trying to impress? I'm not going to talk much about that. I'm just going to leave you with that question because that's something that you got to think about. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, number one, well, not the number one question, but one of the questions you've got to ask yourself in creating your margin is who are you trying to impress? You see, God didn't design you to be anybody but you and to live for Him. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures out of the Old Testament is Micah 6:8. Look at this. It says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God." That's the requirement for those of us who are followers of Christ, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. So I'm going to leave you with this, and we're going to pick it back up next week, and we're going to keep on dealing until we're no longer sick and tired. So let's pray. You know, Lord, we have lived without margin in our lives for so long, we can hardly remember what it's like not to be exhausted or not to live under suffocating pressure all the time. We have bought into the baloney that fatigue is normal. But that is one of the lies of the enemy. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us today that you will give us the courage to take these steps that can bring us some balance and sanity back into our lives and into our schedules and into our relationships. And folks, I'm going to invite you to pray in your own in silence of your own heart with me by saying this. You know, Lord, I am tired of being rushed and late and exhausted all the time. I've got too many irons in the fire. And I need your help to get out of the mess that I've created.
Help me, Lord, to recognize and accept my limitations. Help me to put some space into my schedule. I need breathing room and margin in my own life. And Jesus Christ, I know I can't do it all. And I need wisdom in deciding what matters most and what I should do. Lord, I don't want to waste my life. So I ask that you would give me the courage to say no to the wrong things and the courage to say yes to the right things. Most importantly, Lord, help me to trust you. Forgive me for thinking and acting as if everything depends on me, because it doesn't. Depends on you. And I want to have a greater faith in you and less reliance on myself. I want less stress and more margin. And I pray all this in the name of Jesus, my Savior. Amen.